I'm psychologist Dr. Michael Broder. If you were to ask me to make just one single statement regarding relationships that comes the closest to absolute certainty, it would have to be this. For a relationship to begin or to continue, there has to be a degree of desire, effort, or at least collaboration on the part of both partners. But for a relationship to end, all that's needed is for one partner to want it to end. This program is designed to help you to arrive at some perspective on whether your relationship can be saved, assuming it's in the problematic state that's prompted you to even ask this question. It's important that you listen to the entire program. Some of the things you'll hear may really hit home, while other points may not apply to you or your situation at all. You'll find it helpful to keep a pen and paper handy so you can write down what you recognize as key points that you may wish to refer to often. Also, I strongly urge you to do the exercises as they will serve to connect the information in this program as closely as possible to your own unique situation. This way, by the time the program is completed, you'll probably feel a lot clearer about both your direction and your next step. If you and your partner are both exploring the question of whether your relationship can be saved, I suggest that you each listen to the program separately, and then that you do the various exercises, visualizations, and inventories in private. Then, you and your partner may even benefit from listening to the entire program together once you're in a position to share the feelings with each other that have become clarified. Also, please feel free to turn off the tape at any point where you may need some time to reflect on something which particularly applies to where you are right now. This program is highly interactive, and therefore it'll yield a different experience for each person who listens to it. In the end, only you can make the decision which will ultimately serve you the best. But this program has been designed to pinpoint virtually all of the issues that you probably need to consider. In more than 20 years of clinical experience, I've worked with countless numbers of individuals and couples in virtually every imaginable situation. This program is based on that experience. And while certainty can never be guaranteed, by following this program, you will most likely achieve a perspective which carries with it the highest probability that you're headed in the right direction. Before going any further, let's set up a frame of reference for looking at this most important decision. In my book, The Art of Staying Together, I highlighted the two most important components of relationships that work, and they are passion and comfort. That's right. Long-term relationships that serve the needs of both partners do so because they have an acceptable degree of both passion and comfort. But let's look at what these two ingredients are. Passion is all the romantic and sexual energy that gets you together as a couple in the first place. Passion is a great motivator. It's what prompts you to open your heart to someone, and it's the stuff that longing and desire in a relationship is built upon. But passion alone cannot keep a relationship together. For that, we go to the other component, which I call comfort. And comfort is the ability to work things out, the ability to enjoy each other's company, to respect each other, to share common goals and values, and to live a peaceful and contented coexistence. When it comes to making a commitment to each other, passion is the part of you that commits from the heart. However, it's your brain that indicates whether your relationship provides you with a sufficient degree of comfort to warrant a commitment. Maintaining a degree of passion and comfort that's enough for each of you is really a lifelong job. Why then do we have a better than 50% divorce rate, as well as a much higher percentage of significant non-married relationships which end? There are three main categories of troubled relationships. Those that are stormy, those that become characterized by indifference, and those that are of a one-sided nature. A stormy relationship is generally one that has plenty of passion, but not necessarily of the positive kind. Positive passion is, of course, what we think of when we think of a relationship at its best. But when there's an excessive amount of negative passion, of the variety that we see in stormy relationships, the result is a tremendous amount of anger and discomfort. At its extreme, these relationships can become abusive and even dangerous. A relationship with a lot of passion and little or no comfort can still be highly charged sexually. In some cases, the best sex actually occurs after the meanest and most volatile arguments. Sometimes anger even becomes foreplay, in quotes of course, for some of the best sex. This happens because after a nasty battle, there's often an apology, which can feel like everything is resolved. This then leads to romantic and passionate feelings. Thus, negative passion turns into positive passion. But the sad part is that the situation that's responsible for so much of the anger isn't dealt with. So the pattern can continue indefinitely. Ironically, most couples with this pattern don't even seem to realize why they fight so much. The second category of troubled relationships are those that become indifferent. In this case, most, if not all, of the passion is missing. And although there can be a very comfortable living arrangement, you and your partner may have little feeling or desire for each other. Sometimes partners simply grow apart, or there can be as much anger present as there is in a typical stormy relationship, but there's just not the nature or tendency to argue and battle with each other. So instead, the relationship merely begins to die a slow and quiet death. In other words, it may be brain alive but heart dead. This is in contrast with a stormy relationship that's typically heart alive while brain dead. And finally, there are one-sided relationships. And in these cases, one person usually puts out a lot more effort and energy toward the maintenance and survival of the relationship than does the other one. In a one-sided relationship, one partner can be quite content having all the passion and comfort he or she needs, while the other partner feels somewhat or totally unfulfilled. In all types of troubled relationships, it's important to look at the potential for change. We'll be doing this together straight ahead. So before going any further, I'd like you to take a few minutes to reflect on your situation in order to clearly identify the factors that are prompting you to ask this most difficult question: can your relationship be saved? What are the problems that now exist which have the potential for bringing your relationship to an end? Throughout this program, you'll have ample opportunity to refine your thoughts in this area, but now I'd like you to list or note the problem or problems which have taken you to this point. And while you're at it, ask yourself, when did your problem or problems begin? What was it that may have precipitated the situation? If you're not sure or you don't know, that's okay. We'll be covering just about all of the possibilities as this program progresses. You may want to turn the tape off and work on this initial list now, then turn the tape back on when you're ready to continue. If you're driving a car and this is not a convenient time for you to have a pen and paper handy, then just listen this time without taking notes or doing the exercises. But make it a point to do your next listening when you can do some writing. As you'll see from this point on, it'll be most helpful for you to follow the material and pay special attention to what your own unique issues are. Just as I ask you to identify the problems that characterize your relationship, take a moment now to reflect on the expectations that you have for your relationship at this time. What are your expectations? For example, Many believe a variation of the idea, if only I had the right relationship, my life would be totally complete. But then once involved in one, expectations become piled so high for this relationship that in the long run, it can't possibly meet all of these expectations. Thus, the relationship becomes experienced as unfulfilling. I've seen many relationships fall victim to the expectations put on them. And when this happens, it's quite sad. Reflect now on what your expectations are for your relationship. Perhaps you tell yourself that your partner should always be there for you. Yet when you look at this request or demand realistically, you can see how this expectation can be quite a tall order. So ask yourself, what is it you really want from your partner? What is it you expect from your relationship? What could your partner now do which would make asking this question, can my relationship be saved, totally irrelevant? You may want to turn off the tape now and work on this question, then turn the tape back on when you're ready to continue. I'd now like you to think about your partner for a moment. If your partner were making the same list, what would he or she be asking of you? What would your partner be saying is needed from you in order to make this relationship work? Consider this question and see if you can compose a list of what you think your partner's answers would be. Then take each of these answers individually and ask yourself, what is it you're willing to give up, give on, or change about yourself in order to accommodate your partner? What is it you're willing to do to make the situation better? Remember, you're working on these questions in total privacy, so allow yourself to reflect honestly. Turn the tape off and do this now, then turn it back on when you're ready to continue. I'm going to throw out a few other questions for you to reflect on, and once again, remember to turn the tape off whenever you need some time to reflect, to add to your list, or to generate some new lists. Here are some additional questions which I would like you to ponder. Do things that turned you on about your partner at the beginning of the relationship now turn you off? For example, if you admired your partner because he or she was a hard worker, do you now see that trait as being one of workaholism? Does this translate into feeling like you're being neglected? Or if your partner was a take-charge person, and that was something you admired, do you now see your partner as a control freak? Are you still able to enjoy some of the activities together that made your relationship blossom at the beginning? Or have you simply let the fun and enjoyable activities you once shared go by the wayside, and then simply call this another one of those unpleasant realities of day-to-day living? How do you feel when you're with your partner? Do you like the person you are when you're with your partner? Or has the relationship begun to bring out those sides of you that you like the least? If so, does your self-esteem feel lower when you're around your partner? Have you stopped growing both individually and as a couple? In other words, are you still able to support and enhance each other in important areas of your lives? Or are the parts of your life that you feel best about those that tend to be disconnected from your partner? Is your relationship one that's really destined to be short-term but disguised as a long-term relationship? In other words, was it good at the beginning when there was that initial passion and infatuation, but then did it go downhill from there? If so, perhaps you mislabeled that infatuation as something more than it really was. Has your partner done something you consider unforgivable, such as to have an affair, or lying to you perhaps about something important? Do you see your partner as an unacceptable parent? Has your partner squandered a lot of money you couldn't afford to lose, become abusive, or done something else that has caused a thick blanket of anger to contaminate the positive feelings that were once there? If this is the case, then the important determination you need to make is whether positive feelings or the potential for positive feelings still exist under the anger, or are they gone forever? Have you lost respect for your partner? Aside from the question of whether you love your partner, can you say that your partner is someone you like? What does the relationship represent or mean to you at this point? Is any degree of sexual desire still there? Are you staying around merely out of the fear of going it alone? For financial reasons? For the children? For social reasons? Does the thought of giving up on your relationship trigger sadness or bring you a sense of freedom and relief? Do both types of reactions to splitting come up for you? Could it be you're hanging in there because you're worried about what other people will think if you leave? Are you staying because you want to be part of a couple or in a relationship, even if your current partner is no longer the person you really care to be involved with? These are some of the questions that I urge you to ask yourself in order to begin thinking properly about whether your relationship can be saved, regardless of what stage your relationship is in now, how long you've been together, or what your level of commitment may be. Next, I'd like you to take an inventory, which will become self-explanatory as we go along. I first put this inventory together for my book, The Art of Staying Together. To do this exercise, I'd like you to take a piece of paper and number it from 1 to 40. I'm going to make 40 statements, and I would like you to simply put a check mark next to each number that in some way describes your relationship. The following inventory is designed to be a self-assessment of this complex question. You may find that this assessment provides you with some additional insight in the way of warning signals. It can also help you to make crucial choices that can ultimately lead to the healing and deepening of your relationship or to the relatively unambivalent choice to end it. Let me once again suggest that you take this inventory by yourself. If it's appropriate, have your partner take it as well, but separately. If both of you take it, wait until each of you is completely finished. You may then want to compare your answers and discuss some of the implications that I'll talk about later. After I've given you the 40 brief items, I'll go over each one and discuss the degree of risk each carries with it. Put a check mark on your paper next to each statement that describes your feelings about your relationship. Number one, my partner and I no longer feel like friends. Put a check mark next to number one if this describes your relationship. Number two, my partner and I have developed a very strong wall which separates us. Number three, I'm constantly thinking about how nice it would be to have an affair. Four, when my partner and I fight, it gets nasty and I'm left with feelings of wanting to get out. Five, my partner has told me at a time other than when we were in the middle of a fight that he or she would be happier if we split up. Number six, I'm unwilling to accept my partner as he or she is. If this relationship is to continue, my partner will have to make some very major changes, which he or she is unwilling to make. Seven, my partner and I have little in common anymore. Eight, I would leave this relationship in a heartbeat if I felt confident that I could make it on my own or if I felt that I could make it through the painful transition of a breakup. Nine, although I no longer love my partner, I feel responsible for him or her, and I think the only thing that's really keeping me here is guilt. 10. My partner and I fight a lot, and I fear that underneath the anger there's not much left. 11. When I'm going to be around my partner and I think of having to spend time with him or her, I get an empty feeling. 12. My partner and I are just no longer playing on the same team. 13. The more time goes by, the more I begin to dislike my partner. 14. My respect for my partner is practically or totally gone. 15. There's very little trust left in our relationship. 16. I constantly fear my partner's abusive behavior. If it happens again, I'm leaving. 17. My partner abuses alcohol and drugs. It's even more intolerable to me that he or she denies that the usage is a problem. Number 18. I can only tolerate my partner if one of us is high on alcohol or drugs. 19. If I could afford it financially, I'd leave. Number 20. My partner has an emotional hold on me. I would love to leave, but feel too hooked and addicted to the relationship. 21. My partner has children who I'm expected to relate to. The relationship would be fine if they were not there, but they're here to stay, and it's creating a very unhappy situation for me. Number 22. I should want my relationship to continue, or I want to want my relationship to continue, but I can't really say that I do want it to continue. 23. We're unable to resolve our differences together, but my partner refuses to enter counseling or therapy. 24. My partner has told me that he or she does not love me anymore. 25. My partner has done something which I cannot forgive. This was the straw that broke the camel's back. Number 26. We have so many differences that it's unrealistic to think we can even begin to address them. 27. I'm so overwhelmed by my partner's constant demands for love and approval, perfectionism, and/or rigid rules of how the relationship should be and how each of us should behave within it, that sometimes I just want to give up. 28. I'm almost certain that my partner's having an affair, and if this is true, I will not tolerate it. Number 29. I feel closer to my partner when we're not together. 30. There's definitely more pain than joy or pleasure associated with my partner and our relationship. 31. This relationship has become a constant burden. Number 32. If I knew I could find another mate, I would leave immediately. 33. I'm having an affair with someone I value much more than my partner, and I'm unwilling to give this other person up under any circumstances. Number 34. I feel indifferent toward my partner and have very little motivation to work things out. 35. My most stress-free moments are when my partner and I are not together. 36. My partner and I are totally inflexible with each other. Number 37. I don't even have a desire to tell my partner how I feel anymore, positive or negative. 38. Our relationship has peaked and can never be as good as it once was. Number 39. When I think of us growing old together, life seems not worth living. And number 40, this is the last one, at this point, there's just too much water under the bridge. The evaluation of this inventory I call Can Your Relationship Be Saved is done a bit differently than what you may have expected. If you thought I was going to ask you to count the number of items that described your relationship or to which you answered yes, and then give you a range where you're safe to stay together, where it's potentially in trouble, or where it's doomed, don't be disappointed, but it's not quite that simple. Any one of the items in this inventory to which you answered yes could mean your relationship is already in serious trouble to some degree or heading there. What needs to be looked at are the reasons you checked yes when certain situations were described. This is especially true of the yes items that consistently characterize your relationship or which evoke a great deal of negative emotion in your relationship. Also, you may notice that some item or items apply to your situation, but only to a mild degree. In this case, consider the item in question as a warning sign or signal that a serious problem could be developing, but that you may have caught it in time. Now, what I'd like to do is to give you the number of each statement and tell you the degree of risk attached to it. So listen carefully as I go through each item in the inventory again and take note of the one or ones that you've identified as describing your relationship to some degree. Item number one, my partner and I no longer feel like friends. This is a moderate risk item. Number two, my partner and I have developed a very strong wall that separates us. This is a high-risk item. Item three, I'm constantly thinking about how nice it would be to have an affair. This is a moderate-risk item as long as it is kept on a fantasy level. Four, when my partner and I fight, it gets nasty and I'm left with feelings of wanting to get out. This is a moderate-risk item and more than anything else, shows you that the two of you need to learn to stay on the issue you're arguing about without allowing each disagreement to get global or too personal. This will enable you to fight fairly. To address a climate characterized by anger, look at the demands and unrealistic expectations that either or both of you may be putting on your relationship or each other. These demands are the backbone of that painful emotion of anger and the low frustration tolerance that underlies it. Anger can be resolved by challenging your own demands or expectations. Our program, Overcoming Your Anger, teaches you how to use this skill for both relationship and individual issues that trigger your angry feelings. Item number five. My partner has told me at a time other than when we were in the middle of a fight that he or she would be happier if we split up. This is a high-risk item, particularly in that it's being said other than at a time when you're feeling angry or fighting. Six, I'm unwilling to accept my partner as is. If this relationship is to continue, my partner will have to make some very major changes which he or she is unwilling to make. This is a high-risk item for some very obvious reasons. Item 7. My partner and I have little in common anymore. This is a moderate-risk item. The most successful relationships, of course, are those that have commonality. This problem needs to be discussed first, then common interests, friends, or whatever it was you used to enjoy or share together needs to be redeveloped as an ongoing part of your lives. Number 8, I would leave this relationship in a heartbeat if I felt confident that I could make it on my own or if I knew that I could get through the painful transition of a breakup. This is a high-risk item. 9, although I no longer love my partner, I feel responsible for him or her. I think that the only thing that's really keeping me here is guilt. This is a high-risk item. My partner and I fight a lot, and I fear that underneath the anger there's not much left. This is a moderate-risk item. anger often masks a lot of the positive feelings that could be lying just beneath the surface. But to get to the good stuff, that anger has got to be resolved first. If your anger issues can't seem to be resolved, then this will become a high-risk item. Number 11. When I'm going to be around my partner and I think of having to spend time with him or her, I get an empty feeling. This is quite high risk. Number 12, my partner and I are just no longer playing on the same team. This is a moderate risk item. 13, the more time goes by, the more I begin to dislike my partner. This is a high risk item. Number 14, my respect for my partner is practically or totally gone. This is a very high-risk item. Respect is one of the most difficult things to restore when it's gone. Item number 15. There is very little trust left in our relationship. This is also high-risk. Number 16. I constantly fear my partner's abusive behavior. If it happens again, I'm leaving. This is a high-risk item. Number 17, my partner abuses alcohol and or drugs. It's even more intolerable to me that he or she denies that the usage is a problem. This is a high-risk item. Someone who abuses alcohol or drugs, or better put, abuses themselves with alcohol or drugs, can make any relationship unworkable. Until the problem is acknowledged, you need to decide just how much of an issue this is to the relationship and what your bottom line is. Item number 18, I can only tolerate my partner if one of us is high on alcohol or drugs. This is a high-risk item for many of the same reasons as number 17. Item 19, if I could afford it financially, I'd leave. This is a moderate risk item in that it's sometimes what you may believe until the opportunity presents itself. My partner has an emotional hold on me. I would love to leave but feel too hooked and addicted to the relationship. This is a high risk item. Number 21. My partner has children who I'm expected to relate to. The relationship would be fine if they were not there, but they're here to stay, and it's creating a very unhappy situation for me. This item is of moderate risk. Number 22, I should want my relationship to continue, or I want to want my relationship to continue, but I can't say that I do want it to continue. This is a high-risk item. 23, we're unable to resolve our differences together, but my partner refuses to enter counseling or therapy. Moderate risk item. Item number 24. My partner has told me that he or she does not love me anymore. This is moderate risk. But it's important to look at the context in which this statement was made. In the heat of passion, it's less serious. Without anger, it could be high risk. Number 25. My partner has done something which I cannot forgive. This was the straw that broke the camel's back. A high-risk item. Number 26. We have so many differences that it's unrealistic to think that we can even begin to address them. This is moderate risk. Number 27. I'm so overwhelmed by my partner's constant demands for love and approval, perfectionism, and or rigid rules of how the relationship should be and how each of us should behave within it, that sometimes I just want to give up. This is a moderate risk item. 28. I'm almost certain that my partner is having an affair, and if this is true, I will not tolerate it. Moderate risk item. Believe it or not, many relationships have become stronger after either the acknowledgement of an affair where the fear of it is brought out and dealt with. Number 29, I feel closer to my partner when we're not together. This is a moderate risk item in that it can just be a sign of burnout, which in a relationship is an indicator that perhaps you're needing to take some time for yourself. When you're ready to come back after a timeout, the relationship is often much stronger. 30. There's definitely more pain than joy or pleasure associated with my partner and our relationship. Moderate risk, particularly if there's an identifiable issue causing this particular feeling. Number 31. This relationship has become a constant burden. This is a high-risk item. Item number 32. If I knew I could find another mate, I would leave immediately. This is another high-risk item. 33. I'm having an affair with someone I value much more than my partner, and I'm unwilling to give this person up under any circumstances. This is obviously a high-risk item. 34. I feel indifferent toward my partner and have very little motivation to try to work things out. This item is also quite high risk. Number 35. My most stress-free moments are when my partner and I are not together. This is a moderate risk item unless it goes beyond the specific issues you may be dealing with. Then it becomes high risk. 36. My partner and I are totally inflexible with each other. This is a moderate risk item. 37. I don't even have a desire to tell my partner how I feel anymore, positive or negative. This is a moderate to high risk item, depending on what your hidden feelings are. 38. Our relationship has peaked and can never be as good as it once was. This is a low-risk item. Many couples believe that their relationship is on the way down when that effortless thing we call initial passion begins to wear off. But the real issue here is acknowledging what you had and working together as a team to recreate it. This is the only item that is actually low-risk in this 40-item inventory. Item number 39. When I think of us growing old together, life seems just not worth living. This is a high-risk item. And finally, number 40, at this point, there's just too much water under the bridge. This last one is a moderate-risk item. Most of the moderate-risk items refer to something which can actually be resolved, as difficult as it may be, if, of course, you're willing to work hard in that direction. High-risk items are those most correlated with relationships that can't be saved unless full acknowledgement of these serious issues is made by both of you and some major changes are made. At the time I went through my own separation and divorce in the early 70s, I took issue with the idea that my marriage had been a failure. Indeed, it had yielded a wonderful child and was certainly a source of pleasure for a significant period of time. The dividend was a great deal of learning and personal growth. I certainly didn't feel like a failure. I refused to write off the entire 5 years as a marriage that never should have occurred. True, my first marriage failed to continue, but so do many meaningful experiences in life. After a lot of thought, I came up with what I consider to be a much better explanation. It helped me to put the experience into perspective, and I've seen it do the same for countless numbers of people I've seen in my practice, spoken with on the radio, and met at my talks and seminars. It's the idea that relationships that end do so not out of failure, but merely because they have run their course. Perhaps you've seen other important elements of your life run their course, a job, a career, or a lifestyle you once cherished, yet they didn't seem to fit you as you got older and as your life changed. Or think about your family of origin. If you left home, Does that mean your family relationships failed? Of course not. That time of your life simply ran its course. Though the transition was possibly a difficult one, it doesn't mean you regret it. If after taking the self-assessment inventory, you've determined that your relationship has run its course, you may want to order our program Ending Love Relationships. This program addresses both parties in a breakup, separation, or divorce and gives this subject the respect it deserves by exploring all of the steps you can take to help you to make this transition and adjustment as smoothly and successfully as possible. In the Ending Love Relationships program, I also discuss how to tell your partner that it's over when this potentially most unpleasant discussion is imminent. However, if you're still hopeful about saving your relationship, consider these additional points. If both of you are willing to work by whatever means on the most serious issues, your relationship is still viable. In the self-evaluation, you had the opportunity to define what these issues are and consider whether they spelled high or moderate risk. Can you pinpoint the problem areas that brought you this far? If you and your partner can at least agree on the nature or category of your issues and problems, you're taking a significant step in the right direction. Ponder this. Theoretically, what would have to happen for your relationship to get better? Is your partner willing or unwilling to make certain changes which are important to the prospect of your staying together? Are you willing? Are there things that both you and your partner can do together to give more life to your relationship? Are either of you being inflexible at this point? If your partner is the only one who's being inflexible, what are you willing to do to demonstrate your flexibility? If changes by neither of you are on the horizon, is it possible to learn to accept things the way they are? If this acceptance is the only major sacrifice that you would have to make, are you willing to do it for the sake of saving your relationship? And once again, what exactly does your relationship mean to you at this point? What is it that you really do need from your partner? And what is it that you're willing to give in return? You may want to consult your list and add to it to reflect some of the statements you identified with on the inventory. If your relationship never gets better, what would be your next step? What are your minimum criteria for determining that your relationship is salvageable? And what are your partner's? Have you talked about this? And even more importantly, are you willing to talk about it now? Do you want your partner to be something that he or she is not? Your best friend? Someone toward whom you can feel more sexual? Share more intimacies? Be more trusting of? Someone with whom you can merely lead a peaceful coexistence? Are you holding an unworkable relationship together merely out of the fear of being alone? For the kids? For financial reasons? Out of a guilt for what will happen to your partner if you make the unilateral decision to leave? If no ties other than the emotional ones were present, in other words, if you had no limitations or external reasons to stay in the relationship other than your attachment to your partner, would you stay or would you leave? These questions have no right or pat answers. They are designed for you and your partner to discuss together, as well as for each of you to think about separately. In addition to the advice and exercises given here, if you feel a lack of communication is part of your problem, then you might want to consider the techniques for improving communication skills in our audio program, Developing the Ingredients in Your Relationship for Staying Together. Try this exercise. Take a piece of paper and head it Pros and Cons for Ending This Relationship. Head the left side Pros, that is, what are the factors in favor of ending it? On the right side of the paper, put the heading Cons. what does ending your relationship have going against it? Next, draw a line down the middle of your paper and list as many items as possible as either pros or cons. You may want to turn off the tape and do this now, then turn it back on when you're ready to continue. Next, I'd like you to take another sheet of paper and again, draw a line down the middle, put pros on the left side and cons on the right side. Only head this one, pros and cons for staying in this relationship. List as many items as you can think of for each side of the paper. Once again, please turn the tape off in order to work on this now, then turn it back on when you're ready to continue. Thoroughly look over the four lists you've just made. The pros, that is, what is in favor of ending your love relationship, the cons of ending it, the pros for staying in your relationship, and the cons against staying. Begin with the pros and cons for ending your relationship. Now, if possible, I'd like you to thoroughly imagine what your life would be like if your relationship were to end at this point. To get this image, it might even be helpful for you to close your eyes. What would your life be like right now? What do you imagine it would become? What would be some of the joys and sorrows? What might it be like next month at this time? Or in 1 year? How about in 5 years? In 20 years? How about toward the end of your life? Turn off the tape and take as much time as you need to reflect on these questions. Then turn the tape back on when you're ready to continue. For some people, this imagery exercise is very, very powerful and can even conjure up painful emotions. If so, under those emotions are the answers you're seeking. But take some time to reflect and perhaps take some notes on what it feels like, imagining that you've made the determination and ended your relationship. If you feel unclear, you may want to close your eyes once again and get back into that visualization frame of mind where you can really imagine it, live it, and visualize it so that you can experience what it truly feels like. Take notes on every aspect of breaking up that comes to you as though it were a fait accompli. Next, I'd like you to repeat the exact same imagery exercise, only this time, imagine staying in your present relationship using your list of pros and cons as a starting point. Really get into the frame of mind of what it would be like if you were to save your relationship. You might once again wish to close your eyes and imagine what saving it would feel like. See if you can feel the feelings of staying in your relationship. Look at what it is you would need to do now. What would your life be like right now if you made the decision to stay? How about next month? A year from now? 5 years? 20 years from now? Let your vision extend up toward the end of your life. Imagine what every aspect of your life would be like at its best and at its worst by keeping your present relationship intact. And imagine what you would feel towards yourself and everyone around you. Be aware of the joys and sorrows. Turn off the tape and stay with this exercise for as long as you'd like. Then turn it back on when you're ready to open your eyes and continue. Next, take as many notes as you can about what you visualized and how it felt. What you've done is allowed yourself the opportunity to preview both possible directions your decision could take you. This is a way to get a look at each option. What are each of these options like for you? How do they feel? Go ahead and repeat each exercise as often as you need to until you get the clarity you're seeking. For most people, it's helpful to do these visualizations several times, as each experience can open up a new dimension for you. The following points may help you to gain even more clarity. Many people think that in order to end a marriage or other type of love relationship, you literally have to despise the individual from whom you're separating, or at the very least, not consider their feelings to be important. Not so. With rare exceptions, a relationship that's not serving both of you is not benefiting either of you in the long run. It's not only possible, but quite common to still care deeply for your partner while at the same time you've become aware that the relationship is just not workable. One rarely, if ever, makes a significant change merely because his or her partner demands that these changes be made. Promises are often made to appease the other, and so are temporary changes. But permanent changes are made for yourself, not someone else. Unless you and your partner truly desire to make the changes that you've determined need to be made to save your relationship, at the very best, you'll only be prolonging it. Changes will be permanent only if your partner clearly sees it's to his or her personal advantage to make them. And the same goes for you. If your decision is to end the relationship, remember, there may still be times when you'll second-guess your decision. There may even be periods later on when you'll regret it. And yet, waiting for certainty can occupy a significant portion of your life. Even in the most difficult situations in the short run, it often appears easier to stay in an unworkable situation than to face the immediate pain of separation. However, if either one of you simply no longer wants this relationship, it's highly unlikely that it could continue as anything other than a perfunctory living arrangement. When do you know that a relationship has truly run its course? Three signals should be taken very seriously. The first is where you and or your partner do not want to stay in the relationship, and one or both of you have no desire to work on resolving the issues. The second is where there is no longer a desire for you to spend time together, and neither of you feels motivated to increase your tolerance of each other, work on your indifference, or be involved in each other's lives. And the third is where the magnitude of stress is so great that it causes you physical or emotional problems that can be attributed to the relationship. And remember, often in this case, the distress disappears when you're not together. Of course, you can stay together for a lifetime as long as you don't require the relationship to be more than what it is. Indeed, many couples do make a lifelong commitment based on the children, religion, financial necessity, convenience, or just because of their unwillingness to make a change, or that sometimes devastating fear of going it alone. While this is not the choice preferred by most, it's certainly become the choice of many. And most people who've stayed in relationships out of fear rather than desire, whether it be the fear of being alone or any other fear, usually end up regretting it. Only you can decide how big a part your fears will play in how you decide to live your life. Are you still undecided? Many times I've seen clients stay in unworkable relationships for inordinate periods of time. My own bottom line belief is this: if you're undecided, it's in your own best interest to leave no stone at all unturned in trying to save your relationship, provided that your relationship has at least the potential to add an acceptable degree of happiness to your life. But remember, each day we spend in an unhappy relationship is one day less that we'll have to spend in a life which brings us fulfillment, passion, comfort, and happiness. If you're still in limbo about whether your relationship can work or not in the long run, consider the following alternatives. Set a time limit. Most relationships that aren't working are characterized by a great deal of fighting, distance, or indifference. Nobody is happy, and yet there is no immediate pressure to break up or to take the steps to turn things around. By determining that if things don't get better within a specified period of time, you'll separate, many couples find that their relationship takes on a higher priority. Practice has shown that this simple agreement is most effective when the couple actually sets a date. Once you have a specific amount of time, each person can make his or her own best effort to save the relationship, knowing that there is a reality of a possible breakup on the horizon. On the other hand, there is sometimes a sense of relief once this agreement is made and an end is in sight. This, too, tells you a great deal about where your relationship really is. You may also want to consider a trial separation. An intermission can be helpful when at least one partner determines that it would be a lot better not to have the other person around for a while. Does the absence draw you closer or push you farther apart? At best, a trial separation has a built-in time limit, a week, a month, 6 months, which enables you to think through, as well as act out, your options without the finality of the relationship being over. In addition, it gives you both a vacation from whatever chronic issues are making the potential separation imminent. During a separation, everyone involved usually gets a clearer picture of what's been going on. It also gives you a better perspective on your options. By taking the edge off the tension you feel together and giving yourselves a bit of breathing room, your choices become clearer. Would you still prefer to go your separate ways once the practical issues have been resolved? Or is getting back together a valid option? Trial separations can be extended indefinitely until one or both of you have a better vision of what you want for the long term. I've seen trial separations last as short a period of time as a few hours going either way, and at the other extreme, one case in which a trial separation actually lasted 20 years. It's important to find a way to get past the anger that's sabotaging your relationship and look at the situation as rationally as possible. And getting out of each other's face for a while is often the very thing to help you to do just that. In addition, there are few times when getting professional help individually or as a couple is more appropriate. If you've determined that you'd really like to get out but are staying because of the fears the thought of leaving conjures up, then I highly recommend individual psychotherapy. Often, couples therapy begins with the question of whether a relationship can or should be saved, and therefore all three entities are considered: yourself, your partner, and the two of you as a couple. The therapist acts as an impartial observer who can help you to assess the strengths and weaknesses of your relationship and of each partner, as well as each partner's potential to provide fulfillment to the other. Therapy can be a vehicle for airing the issues in safety, healing the relationship, or for helping one or both partners handle whatever issues they face in breaking up, if it's determined that you can't work out your differences. If you've opted to enter therapy or counseling and your partner has been unwilling, it may be a good idea for you to make an appointment on your own to discuss the situation. Often, a therapist can help you to develop a strategy to bring your partner into the process. If you yourself have been in individual therapy and your partner objects to going to see your therapist, honor that objection and find a person who will be acceptable to both of you. Your own therapist may be as impartial as can be, even if you've been in individual therapy with that person for quite a while. However, your partner may not believe this and may fear being ganged up on. This is especially true if you are a lot more therapy-wise than your partner is. When this is the case, the best course of action may be to let your partner choose the therapist. Most importantly, it's worth repeating one more time that you'll probably feel much better if you haven't let any stone go unturned when it comes to saving a relationship which you value. Millions have been helped in therapy, both when the relationship could be saved and when help is needed by either partner with the transition of getting out. And it's quite rare when it does harm. So I cannot urge you strongly enough to give this a try at any point in your relationship when problems you cannot seem to resolve surface, but especially at the point where you see a breakup as being the only way to resolve your present difficulties. Being in limbo is a state of mind, not a point of fact. Getting out of limbo may not be easy, but once you do it, you have the rest of your life to gain. I hope that you have found this program helpful to you in addressing this most crucial question of whether your relationship can be saved. Allow yourself to go back through the program as many times as you need, either the total program or any part of it that focuses on the areas where you can use the most help or reassurance. And please let us know how you're doing. If we can be of any further help to you with respect to resources or anything else, please call, fax, or write us. I'm psychologist Dr. Michael Broder, wishing you all the best.